Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Thank you. We thank you for everything you have done. Father God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for just seeing another day. Father God, even though there has been things that's going throughout the land, you know, demonic oppression, possession, Lord God, we know you are in control. And Lord God, we ask that you strengthen us, give us wisdom, how to effectively fight the enemy, Lord God, because you love your children. And Lord God, you don't want to see them bound up, helpless, defenseless. So Lord God, give us as ministers of the gospel what we need to teach, what we need to say to your people on tonight. We break demonic strongholds. We break it off their ears so they can hear the word of God, unadulterated. We take the spirit of slumber off of them. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, those that need to be listening to this show tonight, I know we had to retape it, but send them right now, Holy Spirit, guide them to this channel. Send them, Father God, by your hand. It's a reason you had us to retape this, because somebody needs to hear this. So it wasn't just a technical difficulty, but you had a reason for doing this on tonight. And we're just going to be obedient to the Spirit, because I was feeling a little tired in my body, and Bishop, and we said, well, maybe we'll just do it next week. But you said, no, I want you to do it again. So, Father God, we're obedient to your word, because somebody needs to hear this word on tonight. And, Lord God, we just ask that you word our mouth, strengthen us, that we will be the vessels that you will use to say what you want to say to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, amen. Hey, listen to this clip, and then we're going to come right back in and give you what God give us. Amen?
I'm sure it's back. Yeah, I keep seeing you in danger, but I can't do anything.
Yesterday he started seeing things when he was awake. Jake, isn't it real? It's more real than the physical realm. There's invisible forces around us all the time. Some people can tap into it and change things. You have that gift. I can see it in your eyes. You start something like you've never seen before, and it will change everything.
It's okay, they're not real.
They are real, and they're coming for us. These things are not imagining anything. They're real, and they hate us.
Open your eyes, Jason.
I'm afraid I'm the least of your worries. You're in over your head, Joshua.
Myself. Go to hell.
Amen. So you see, we're fighting a real supernatural battle. And like she said in the clip, is more real than what you think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people try to dispel that and say it's not real. You know, we're just a bunch of lunatics running around everything, a demon behind every bush. That's not what we're saying tonight. But we are saying there are spiritual demonic forces that is in the airwaves that is wanting to get into your family, into your house. So you need to equip yourself with the full armor of God. Amen. To effectively fight the enemy. So I want to bring this out. What is spiritual warfare? I know a lot of people hear the term spiritual warfare. Sad thing about it, the church don't even know what spiritual warfare is. This is why we're coming to you live, straight talk. If you have questions, answers, we're going to be bringing it real. We have been watching the news stations of various shootings, gang violence, killings in places such as our churches. I mean, they don't even have respect for the churches no more. Grocery stores, schools, and in many other places throughout the land. Even medical professionals and psychiatrists all say that this is mental illness. But we believe that there is something much deeper, demonic forces. You see just how the man went into the doctor's office, I think last week or week before last, shot up the doctor. Say he didn't like the treatment he was getting. Then today, of course, we saw where the young man tried to break up to fight or told him to fight without using guns, and they shot him up. Then another incident today, I believe somebody, what, he beat the boy to death or something? Because he sprayed some water on him with a water gun. So he beats the child to death. Come on now. This is a violent rage. You don't even act like that normally. We heard a psychiatrist, well known, and we'll try to eventually get him on the program. But he was just saying that out of all his 30, 40 years of study, although the pharmaceutical companies, they love medicating people, you know, putting them on psychotropic drugs that keep them in a lobotomized state of mind. But that's just you can't medicate a demon. You medicate that body, but that demon is still active. Listen. Jesus didn't medicate them. And we're going to read this. He cast the demons out. And all you see in the pharmaceutical or in the, you know, maybe the psychiatrist, they want to put them on pills. And then they're going to put them on more pills and more pills. And usually when they come off that pill, they're worse or more violent than before they was on the pill. Because of the side effects. So this is I'm reading to you out of Mark 5, New King James Version. It says, a demon-possessed man healed. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwellings amongst the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. That's supernatural strength. That ain't even natural. Mm-hmm. You see? And the chains had been pulled apart by him. And one thing, when you see demonic or demon-possessed people, they have a supernatural strength. And the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. See, these are areas the devils like to hang out in. So when you do see them ghost hunters and all that, they love to go to them graveyards. Say he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him, because demons know who has the authority. So they are subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you got God in you, they subject to you too. Amen. But you got to know your strength. You got to know who you serve. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. So, see, torment demons is when you casting them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's torment to them, because
yeah.
they want a host. And your temple is a host where they can lay and reside. And he say, For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Jesus didn't play around with him. He didn't ask him no question. He asked him one question, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. He could have been lying. But we know a legion could be an army, as many as 5,000. He said, also, he begged him earnestly, that he would not send them out in the country. They love to reside in a body. That's why Jesus said when their house is clean and has been swept clean from demonic, they wait around. And if you let them back in, they bring seven more of their friends and say your latter state is worse than your first because you're packed with demons. What is spiritual warfare? If we are warriors for Christ, then how do we fight, evangelists, the war using spiritual warfare? We don't hear about it in the church. They don't talk about it much in the church. They take you, you go to church, you get your little sermonette, and you go home. But they don't deal with the deep things. We're dealing with some heavy demons in this land, and a lot of times even in your own family. Amen? The above scripture shows us that Christ was a warrior for God, and we are to be warriors for Christ. The war consists of two fronts, an earthly and heavenly. On earth, we do not war against humans, but against the demons in humans. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
You're not fighting flesh and blood. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not physically, mentally. And a lot of times I see Christians want to take things into their natural means. Well, he cussed me out, I'm going to cuss him out back. Or she slapped me, I'm going to slap her back. That ain't how you're supposed to react as Christians. We do not fight physically, mentally, spiritually, or materially with our brothers or sisters, saved or unsaved. We do pray for those who are unsaved to receive salvation. Now, you're not going to just knowingly let somebody slap you upside the face. That's foolish. But you know what I'm saying. You get the gist of what I'm saying. Don't be so quick to retaliate. Some things you do need to pray about, because nowadays, like the young man, he was just telling them don't fight, you know, using guns. And he get his life taken. You got crazy people out there nowadays. So you have to be, you govern yourself accordingly. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sometimes it's better to just walk away from an argument than to get into an argument.
That's indeed.
Be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Walk away. That's not saying you less of a man or a woman. You just don't engage in it, because sometimes the devil is just ready to start a physical fight. Amen. So for the we pray for those, you know, like I say, we do pray for those who are unsaved to receive salvation, but do not cast their demons out. So sometimes in finding out in deliverance and Bishop, no, you can't cast a demon out against somebody's will.
That's right.
You can pray for that person that God would open their eyes and give them revelation of the truth, but you cannot cast the devil out. When that man ran before Jesus, see, you got that human soul part crying out. It wasn't a demon crying out to be delivered, but that inner man was crying out. And that's, we are three parts being, spirit, soul, and body. And we'll get into that even deeper. But sometimes that soul man be crying out. He wants help. But the people, a lot of times in these, when you see these young kids, it might be sometimes they may have been abused or something, and that anger, they can't channel it effectively, and they be crying out. And what do the parents do? They'll just take them to a psychiatrist, get them on medication. We were looking at a program where the young man had been from psychiatrist to psychiatrist. And all they kept doing is medicating him with more and more and more drugs. And then when he got of age, he did the unthinkable. He became a mass shooter. No, he cut up somebody. But you see what I'm saying? They'd be crying out, but you don't take them to the right places. You're looking to politicians to solve the problem. You're looking to foresight. And I'm not against medicine in its proper perspective. But some things, Jesus said, some things come out by much fasting and praying. He didn't say take them to your nearest psychiatrist. This man in the Bible with the son, there's another instance. He said he had took him to all the doctors in the land, and they couldn't help his child. He said, I even took him to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. Jesus said, bring the lad to me. And he cast the spirit out. He didn't medicate the spirit, but he cast it out. Amen? On earth, we battle for our minds, which is the main battle for the human race. That's what we're talking about tonight. The salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation, right? Physically, we fight our bodies to be healthy. We battle with our finances against the forces of evil by giving our offerings, our alms. We support the true works of God. Time is spent in fellowship, the Christian walk, fellowshipping with others, Christians, reading the Bible, fasting, praying, meditating, studying, and strengthening ourselves. Time is spent in helping others, teaching, counseling, praying, ministry. We battle mentally, physically, materially, spiritually with our time, talents, and resources. And this is why we're saying you got to build up your weaponry. You got to get armored. You got to get suited up. Yeah, going to church and doing all them functions is nice. You paying tithes and you are giving or however you choose. You even fellowshipping, having cookouts at church, socializing. But you have to get that spiritual man armored. Because I tell people all the time, either you're coming out of a battle or you get ready to go into one. And if you're not suited up with the whole armor of God, he don't come in through one of those areas. He might come in through your mind, the mental part, might come in and put something in your heart, lust, deceit, lying, cheating. The Bible says these are the things that proceed out the heart. So this is why he say put on the whole armor. Okay. So I'm going to turn it over in a minute. This is mainly a spiritual battle, and we have to pray against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. And when you look at various cities, look at the demonic principality over that city. And you could pretty much, up here in Canton, it's a spirit of, I want to say, racism. Atlanta, we know is a lot of murder. So you can look at the various cities throughout the country. California, a lot of perverseness. Liberalness. You know? When they started legalizing certain laws, you could tell by the various cities what demons, and see, we were in training in demonology. They have said witches and things prey particular demons over certain cities. Mm-hmm. And they could even pray against your family. If you're not suited up and suited up in the things of God, they could send attacks on your family. Because their agenda is to break down the family. Mm-hmm. And that goes all the way back to Madame Blavatsky, who was a high priestess. And their agenda, was it Alice Bailey? Mm-hmm. Her agenda was to destroy the family unit. And this was way in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. So you can see the effects of it now. There's a breakdown in the family. Their agenda was to move the dad out the family back in the 60s and 50s. Now you got a lot of single mothers trying to raise boys without a man. And a lot of these boys out there is running wild in the streets because they don't have that father figure. And I'm going to say to the single women, you may not have a husband in your house, but you got an uncle, you got some brothers or somebody to mentor these young men. They need mentoring. You can't just let them go wild because this is what we're seeing. So if you look at the various cities, you can identify the principality over that city. Amen? So I'm going to turn this part over to Bishop Bobby.
Amen. We want to thank the Lord for everything that Evangelist Montgomery just said. But in reference to spiritual warfare, and you know that she was mentioning that in reference to the family. And young men in the families, and what happens with them when they don't have the proper guidance from another man or male in a positive light. Now, what we have been seeing in this country, what we have been seeing in this country is negative influence on these young men. And when you have negative influence on these young men, then you're going to get what I'm getting ready to give you the statistics on. In this country, in the last 22 weeks into the year, we have had 246 mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
246 mass shootings.
Yeah.
Now, it's not necessarily the guns, but it's the people that's handling the guns, because in some countries, they have way more guns than we have. Every household has a weapon in it, but there's no shootings.
Like
this. There's no mass shootings. Nobody is going around shooting other people.
Or babies or anything.
But they have more guns than we do. So it's not the guns. But let me read, just bring these statistics out to you. A gunman targeted a fourth grade class that just happened in Uvalde, Texas, killing 21 and injuring 17. Deadliest school shooting in America since Sandy Hook. And this man was shooting 4- and 5-year-olds.
I think it was like fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth graders.
Mm-hmm.
Between 4 and 10 or 12. Okay, he just went in there and shot them down. 11 mass shootings over the first weekend in June. 14 people were shot near a nightclub in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 14 people were shot in the busy entertainment district in Philadelphia. 8 were shot at a graduation party in Somerton, South Carolina. A shooting in a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a weekend of violence the previous week. Sunday is day 156 of the year, and the country has already experienced at least 246 mass shootings so far, at least 246 in just over 22 weeks, and averaged out to just over 11 a week.
Mm-hmm.
The tally comes from the Gun Violence Archive, an independent data collection organization. The group defines a mass shooting as an incident in which 4 or more people are shot or killed, excluding the shooter.
Mm.
Full list of mass shootings in 2022 can be found here in this archive.
Mm.
You have other shootings well known by now. Common recurrence in the United States, we ended 2021 with 692 mass shootings per the Gun Violence Archive. Year before, saw 610. 2019, 417. The massacres don't come out of nowhere, huh? Says Mark Foreman, who has been researching mass shootings since 2012, when a gunman killed 12 people at a movie theater in Aurora.
Yeah.
This is planned violence. They don't just up and do it. They plan it to the T.
Mm-hmm.
There is, in every one of these cases, always a trail of behavioral warning signs. You say trigger points.
Hmm.
Says the role of mental health is also widely misunderstood. Now, it's not always mental health.
Right.
These people plan these things. They're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not crazy like that. The general public views mass shooters as people who are totally crazy, insane. It's with the idea. Snapping. No, they're not snapping like that. And as if these people are totally detached from reality. They're not detached from reality like that. It's not the case, he said, there's a very rational thought process that goes into planning and carrying out mass shootings.
Yeah.
Suspect in Uvalde attack, high school student who bought at least 2 AR-15 style rifles shortly after his 18th birthday.
Where did he get the money from?
Mm-hmm. And shot his grandmother before going to the elementary school. Buffalo attack left behind a racist creed. Don body armor and live streamed the attack.
See?
On May 14th, a racist attack at Buffalo, New York Supermagic snatched the lives of 10 people and left 3 more injured, the deadliest mass shooting of the year in the United States for just over a week. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about young men.
Yeah.
And we're talking about young men that had negative influences in their life. These young men probably went through some kind of trauma in their life that triggered it. They were probably listening to demonic voices or evil people, or they were on social media following evil people, hateful people, and they were being fed lies. Now, we know that the enemy is the father of lies. He invented lies. So if you listen to these evil people who are lying to you consistently, and you are already
weak-minded
and a person that has been subject to trauma, then you're going to follow that.
And you know, Bishop, as you was talking, the 99.9% of these killings were by who? Males.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of them men.
You see? So the devil is targeting the men.
That's true.
With anger.
Yes.
Hatred.
Yes.
Violence.
Yes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're a man don't mean you need to be so angry and violent. Like I just said earlier, sometimes you need to walk away.
Yeah. And that's true, too. So what? And we're dealing with, we hear a lot of people talking about mental illness, mm-hmm. but then we heard some other people in the statistic that was brought up. They said that they're not mentally ill like that because they plan these things.
They plan it out
for weeks and months,
and
they have somebody coaching them to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anybody telling them, like, you know, you might not want to do this. All right, to give you an example, this young man that went to the school in Uvalde and shot all these children, bought two weapons, bought a lot of ammunition, bought the bulletproof material he had, and took it over his friend's house. And his friend held it for him. His friend didn't tell him, man, look, man, you can't keep these guns at my house. No, you ain't going to keep these bullets at my house. You're not going to store this. What are you talking about? I know that you're going to do something evil. I know you're going to kill somebody with this stuff. I'm not going to be a part of it. Now, if that young man would have told him that, that might have saved those children at that school.
Sometimes we have to stand up and say no.
But what happens is these individuals find like-minded people like them who's going to go along with it and then turn around and say, well, I didn't know he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if somebody come to your house with a rocket launcher and tell you, can you keep this at my house? Because tomorrow I'm going to go down there and blow up something.
Well, you may not
up.
Have told him what he was going to do. Just say, hold on.
Yeah, hold this.
Get it? Yeah.
No, you wouldn't do that. So what am I saying is, these people have no filters of mind. They're weak-minded. Now, they might not be crazy to what we say crazy, but they have an evil heart.
Yeah.
A weak mind. And no sense of filters. In other words, what I'm saying, whatever comes to their mind, they'll dwell on it. They'll dwell on it. They'll keep repeating it in their mind until they do it. And they don't even know where it's coming from.
Well,
but let me bring out some more things here, and then we're going to go on. Because we are in a spiritual war.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need the warfare and the armor of God on us.
Yeah.
We need to have our mind regulated at all times. We need to have the helmet of salvation of our mind because that protects our mind from the darts of the enemy, from the messages from the enemy, from the speech of the enemy that tells you to do wrong, that leads you into error. There is a spirit of error out there that will cause you to do things wrong without you even realizing it because it's a spirit of error.
Amen.
Now what I'm getting ready to go, I'm going to go into you a little bit here, and this is talking about the mind according to the scripture. Now, the Lord spoke to Cain about some things. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Cain in Genesis 4, 6 through 7, says, Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Did you see that? Sin lieth at the door, and sin desires you. In other words, it desires for you to protect of the sin or the error or the wrong. But God say, you shall rule over him. In other words, you have authority over whatever it is that's dealing with your mind.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe that and your heart is bent toward the evil, then you're going to commit the evil. You're going to do what the thing says. And that's what Paul, that's what Cain did, because he had enmity. He was jealous and hateful of his brother. And he had some problems with the Lord, too. Because he didn't obey the Lord in that, but he obeyed the enemy. And we know the story of Cain. But God came to him and said, hey, Cain, wait a minute. You got authority over this thing. You don't have to do this. But if you do right, right will follow you. But if you do wrong, sin lies at the door.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna read some things in reference to what God feels, what God thinks about all this violence and bloodshed that's going on in the country, and then I'm going to go into some other things and verses. Genesis 9 and 6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now, I would say something. Every evil spirit, every demon, Lucifer, hates men. Hate humans. Why? Because they are made in the image of God. So every time these evil things look at you, they're looking at the image of God, and they hate that. Another thing I'm going to say is that demons do not segregate. Foul spirits do not discriminate. They don't. They don't care what you look like. Only thing they are concerned about is that you are the image of God, and they want to destroy you. Now, if they can convince other human beings to destroy human beings, then that's what they'll do. And that's what you're seeing right now. But the only in the things of this world, in the natural realm, the only beings that discriminate against each other are human beings. You don't even see that in the animal kingdom. You see it in the human kingdom, where men discriminate against other men who all of us are made in the image of God, and we don't even think of where that comes from. It comes from the enemy. Let's face it, hatred comes from straight up from the enemy. And Jesus said, a person who hates is a person that commits murder. So to God and to Christ, if you hate somebody, you're the same as a murderer. And this is what we're seeing throughout the land. Okay, let me go a little further here. And he says in Deuteronomy 19, that innocent blood be not shed in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor, what did he say? If any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Who's the avenger of blood? Judges and law enforcement. And anybody involved in law enforcement, those are the avengers of blood. But what did God say about it? Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may be that it may go well with thee. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to go somewhere else. All these killings, all these mass shootings, all this violence going on in the land, if we don't repent of that, God say it ain't going to go well with the nation. All right? Now, that's what God said. Because he said, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. So people of the Most High God and anybody that's listening, we're going to have to deal with all this evil in the land. We're going to have to deal with all this murder,
yeah,
all these mass shootings, all this violence, because if we don't deal with it, the country can only go down. Do you hear me? The country can only go down because we say we are a Christian nation, mm-hmm, but we're acting like heathens and secularists.
Yeah, well.
Anytime you can't hardly read a Bible in public, you can't hardly read a Bible at school, mm-hmm, you can't hardly pray anywhere except in the church.
Yeah.
And they're coming against that. But we are a Christian nation.
Hmm.
But you don't want to say nothing about God. You don't want to say nothing about Jesus. The one program we was looking at, asked a little kid about the church. He said, no, we don't go there with them 12 apostrophes. No. Come on now. And then we wonder why all this is happening. Well, when you turn from Scripture and you don't want God in the land,
yeah,
what do you think is going to be in the land?
That's
true. So, hey, be careful what you ask for because you just might receive it.
Yeah.
You say you don't want to have nothing to do with God, but at the same time, you blame God when the Satan comes in like a flood. Come on, people. Come on.
Mm-mm-mm.
We are in a war, and it's a spiritual war, a war of various realms that you can't see.
Right.
So how are you going to deal with something that you can't see? You're going to have to get something where you can see it. If it's dark, it's night, you get night vision. Soldiers get night vision so they can see in the dark.
Yeah.
What allows you to see in the dark in the realm of the spirit? God in Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God.
If you've got the call-in number, you can give that if somebody needs to call.
Now, if someone is out there listening, we have a call-in number, guest call-in number, 319-527-6058. When you call in, we'll click over. We will not say your name or your number. We'll just admonish you that you called in and you can say a little something or have a question or speak for a prayer no longer than a minute. So, all right. Now, I'm going to Ephesians 6. And a lot of things we're talking about right now are things that would help you to keep a good mind, a straight mind, a pure mind. And here's one of it. And one thing I want to say to you out here is this. So goes the family, so goes the nation. So if the family is off kilter, the nation is going to be off kilter because what is a nation? A nation is a collection of families. So if you have individual families that are corrupt, the nation will be corrupt. If you have a family that is destroyed, the nation is destroyed because the nation is a collection of families, thousands and millions of families. And if as I said before, if all these families is involved in crooked and evil stuff, they're allowing their children to do anything, say anything, go anywhere, do whatever, it's going to be a reflection on the nation. It's going to be a reflection on the nation. Now listen to this. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I like to go into the scripture and then bring it back to where we are. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Honor their father and mother. Why should you honor your father and mother? Which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That means you're going to prosper. That means you're going to live a long life. You don't have to worry about somebody coming up and shooting you, and you don't have to worry about you going out and shooting and killing somebody. Did you hear me? All right. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because fathers, if you promote your children to wrath, then you see what you see on the news every night. Now, when it says provoke your children to wrath, it doesn't necessarily mean just beating them up all the time, but it means you're doing things that is causing them to be angry. You're causing trauma in their life. You're causing them to do things or think wrong things. That's why it says to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They should be seeing righteousness in your fathers. They should be seeing love. They should be seeing a strong, righteous man in that house. That's what keeps the children in line. Now, we know some kids, they're going to get up and they're going to do what they want to do, but the scripture tells us, when you raise up a child or train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from that teaching. Now, he'll get out there and act crazy for a little bit, but he's going to remember. He's going to see some things, and he won't depart from it. He'll come back to it, and he'll say, you know, Dad and Mom was right. Because, when I was out there doing that stuff, it didn't do me any good. It didn't really help me. You see?
Mm-hmm.
As I say, so go the family, so go the nation. All right? Now, let me go a little more. We're talking about the mind now. When the Lord was speaking to Cain, he was talking to him in reference to what was affecting his mind. Say, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, you have control of your own mind unless you give it to something or someone else. That's what happens with cults, you see. People get in the cult. They take the advice of one man and they surrender their mind to that man. You see? And as a result, whichever way that man goes, so the rest of the people go, because they have surrendered their minds and soul to this individual, and many times he leads them astray. The only someone we should surrender our minds to is God and Christ, because we'll never go wrong. They will never lead us wrong. Men can lead you wrong. That's what men do. And if you take the advice of evil men and demonic entities, you're going to surely go wrong.
Yes.
And you'll be destroyed. But let's go a little way here and say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6 and 10. You notice what it say? Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power of his might. One thing I want to say to all of you. When it comes to the realm of the spirit, we have no power. We are powerless. We are like a little newborn baby to a full-grown adult in the realm of the spirit. Without God, without Jesus Christ, we have absolutely no power in the realm of the spirit. And as a result of that, you see what you see every night.
Amen.
Every night.
Yeah.
Now, the scripture also tells us that we're in a warfare. We're in war. Now, none of our soldiers go out to battle without the right equipment. They have their helmets. They have their bulletproof material. They have their rifle. They have their pistol. They have their helmet on. They have the right boots on their feet and their clothes for battle. That's a soldier. They're clothed for battle. They have their night vision where they can see it in the dark. They have all they need to fight effectively in physical and natural warfare. Where it's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. We have to have proper equipment in this war. But you have to put it on. God gives it to us, but we have to put it on. That put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But the thing about it, you have to put this armor on. If you don't know you have this armor, you won't know to put it on. If it doesn't come and put in your mind, you won't know you have it. And if you don't know you have it, you can't put it on. So you are open target for the enemy. Whatever comes to your unfiltered mind, you will begin to dwell on it. But it's just like anything else. The thing that you want to grow strong in your life is the thing that you're going to focus on, concentrate on, in, and feed. What are you talking about? Okay, when I say feed, I mean that you're going to be thinking about this thing constantly. You're feeding it, you see. It's just like a dog. If you want a dog to be strong, well, you feed him. You feed him good food. Then he'll get strong and he can do what he's supposed to do. Well, it's the same thing in the spirit. It's the same thing in the spirit. If you want to grow in the spirit, then you're going to have to feed that spirit the word of God. Prayer, supplication. Do a little fast and you're strengthening your spirit. Now, if you want to feed the stuff out there, then you're going to concentrate on that. You're going to feed yourself filth, evil, hatred, all these kind of things. And that'll what grows strong in you. And then you'll go that way. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking straight talk. And these are the reasons why you're seeing what you're seeing out there. Look, young men and young women don't all of a sudden go out and do anything. They have mentors in that. They have people through the media that they go out, they listen to, they talk to, they get fed a bunch of lies, they get fed a bunch of hate speech, they get fed anything that's going to cause them to go out and destroy themselves and destroy others, because that is the will of the enemy, to steal, to kill, and destroy, and that's it. Many people haven't learned that yet. The enemy will give you, for your soul, he'll give you just about anything to get you to destroy yourself and to destroy others. Mm-hmm. Now, the call-in line is 319-527-6058. We're about to come to a close in just a few moments, but if there's anyone who wants to call in, please do so.
And just wanted to add how God deemed Israel as a prostitute. And the reason why he said that, America, is because he had set her up. He had adorned her. It's over in Ezekiel. And you can read the whole book talking about how he adorned her with the finest jewelry. And she was the envy of all the nations. And everybody looked at her, but she fell away. She fell away from God because she got lifted up in pride.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And she started whoring after other gods. Sound like America today? And then we wonder why we see so much bloodshed,
mm-hmm.
why our kids are killing up people. Because we have fell away from God. And I'm talking to the church. We have fallen away because we allow unclean things to come into the temple of God, and we perverted it. This is why we see a lot of what we see. So when the church used to have families coming to church as a family, you don't see that anymore.
Not too much, not hardly.
You don't hardly see it. You see a lot of carnal Christians And then you want to know why you can't fight the enemy when he come up in your home, when he attack your marriage, when he attack your children. Because what have you been doing spiritually? Have you been building yourself up? Have you been putting on the whole armor of God? Or have you been in a lethargic mindset, lazy? You don't want to take the initiative to fight. Like I said earlier, you're either coming out of a battle or you're getting ready to go into one. So what is that saying? You should always be equipped. We don't walk around with our heads in the clouds like we're out of this world. We are very aware. We work. Some of us work natural jobs. We pay bills. We pay our mortgages. But when he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that means don't let a lot of foolishness come into your thought pattern. I was told that the devil is on the outside. He whispers in your ear. And you know, you heard this even at the kids. He sit on your shoulder, he whisper in your ear. Well, part of that was true. He's going to talk to your mind. And if you're weak-minded and when you accept him, that's when he come inside of you. That's why he told Cain, you can master this thing. He's lying outside your door. He outside your door trying to get in. The Bible said they let every foul, unclean thing in the temple. So what am I saying? A lot of times we allow every unclean, he called them unclean birds, which is demon spirit. We let them in our houses, and then we think we're going to rise up and do some spiritual warfare. It don't work like that. I'm saying this, I admonish you, do some house cleaning. You know, in the spring, we do spring cleaning. To all the Christians out there, I want you to do some inventory on your own house, on your marriages. See where cracks, where the enemy has come in, where he's trying to destroy your home, your children. Start pleading the blood over them. Start praying over them. Start anointing them with oil. Yeah, they may be teenagers, but hey, you pray over them anyway. We mm-hmm. prayed until our kids left the house, and we still praying, and they couldn't grow.
That's right.
I'm praying for my grandkids that the Lord touch their mind, because look, the culture is strong and it pulls them out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking God, I pray for them daily. Although we put truth in them, yeah, the devil will try to pull them back out there. But I know God can bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
He bought my sons back. He can bring yours back. That's why I say, if you need prayer, send us an email. We will respond. Or call the helpline, 319-527-6058. We're here to pray with you, but we're not going to do the work for you. Did you hear what I said? We'll pray with you, but we're not going to do. I can't put your armor on for you.
Amen.
You're going to have to put it on yourself. Because when Jesus, they brought the demoniac, the young lad to Jesus, he told him, he said, these kind come out by much fasting and prayer. Don't be so quick to run to secular politicians or, and it's okay to go to a doctor. We're not opposed to doctor. I go to the doctor myself. But when you know it's something deeper, and one thing the psychiatrists say, the way you can tell when something is demonic, because some of them thoughts would be so vile. And you have to ask yourself, that ain't even me. I don't even act like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's whispering in your ear to get you to accept that thought. Had Dylann Roof and that other young man, that Uvalde and the other young man in Buffalo, had they had enough fortitude to fight that thing,
yeah,
like he told Cain, they wouldn't be, the young man blew his brains out, then the other one go to jail, and then the other one on death row.
Mm-hmm.
Start listening to the Holy Spirit. I know some of you ain't got the Holy Spirit, so that's why we're here. We'll help you pray and get it.
Amen.
You can't fight this stuff in natural means.
That's right.
Spiritual realm, you can't fight it with natural means. This is not a political rant. We don't take sides, Republican, Democrat. Well, if we had, look, we're going to start with the spiritual.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you about the spiritual. Let the politicians fight over politicians, because I told them in 2013 when that boy went up in there and killed them babies at Sandy Hook, I said, they're going to talk about it for a couple of weeks, then it'll blow over. But the weird thing has been every week now. Mm-hmm. It has escalated. Do you see how it has escalated?
Mm-hmm.
Every week now.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? The politicians still talk about it. They're not doing anything. So as Christians, we got to fall on our faith. We got to start interceding for our family. Because the devil want to take out our families. He want to destroy our families. He want to destroy our marriages. He want to destroy the family unit. Church, and you're sleeping. You want more junk. You want to build bigger barns, bigger houses. And God is saying, you've got enough already. What about your spiritual life?
Mm-hmm.
All the songs is geared to bless me more. I want more, 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 more. That's a spirit of greed. What are you doing for your spiritual man? He crying, I need more, more, more. But you just feeding the flesh. This is why we come on here with this urgency. We had stopped coming on Blog Talk for a minute. You know, I say, well, we got over, 1,000, archives if they wanted it. But God said, no, there's an urgency in the land. And I want you to share this with my people. Now, you would have thought 2 years with the whole world shut down because of COVID, that people would have started seeking God. But as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Look at it. 2 years, the whole nation was shut down. People couldn't even go outside. I have never seen it like that. And you would have thought that would have brought people closer to God, but looked like it turned them from God. Now, they think that there's a sense of normalcy. They can go their merry way, so they living like hell again. But you know what? The devil don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Something else is coming. And it's going to be worse than COVID. Are you going to be ready? And I don't mean going and storing up a lot of food and, you know, and all that, because some of this coming up on the world, you can't even prepare for.
That's right.
Only your preparation is going to be in Jesus Christ.
Because
it's going to be taking people out so quick, they ain't going to even have time to do anything. I want you to get prepared. I want you to get your family prepared. Just like Noah, 120 years, he was saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. And they laughed and they mocked them. They laugh at the true ministers of the gospel, the little preachers they say who is under where, little backroom preachers or whatever. Okay, well, you go into your mega churches and you ain't getting nothing but a hoop and a holler, and they want your dollar. But if I got to go to these little backroom preachers and get deliverance, my God, didn't Nicodemus do it?
Mm-hmm.
He said he saw Jesus out at night. Say, so what must I do to be saved? Because he knew he couldn't get it in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Better loose that pride and find somewhere where somebody can pray and help you and ain't all caught up in material stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to help you. If your son or daughter is vexed with a demon, they know how to pray and break those demonic strongholds off of their lives. Rather than going to some of these churches, you tell them, my son or daughter vexed with a demon, they'll take you in that back room, say a little how to duty prayer, and tell you to go. And some of them ain't going to do deliverance.
They'll tell you, send you to the doctor.
You know, they'll say he got something going on. One preacher, he couldn't even say demon. He said, you living with what? Some kind of somebody else living in. non-human is living in your house. Now, what kind of mess is that? They jelly back. Call it for what it is. It's a demon in your house. But they won't even mention that word. They don't even mention hell. But we're going to keep it straight here, Kingdom of God Ministries. So I guess we don't have any call-ins. We're going to end this program tonight. Join us next Friday, 7:30. I believe we got our technical support right now. So join us next Friday. We're still teaching on spiritual warfare, but we're breaking it down. We're going to unpeel the layers. We talked about the helmet of salvation tonight. Then we're going to go on down what spiritual warfare is, bringing it out. We're going to tell you how to shut doors to curses that you may have bought in your home. We're going to show you how to close them doors on next week. So be sure to join us next week. Keep us in prayer because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
We be warned. Our spirits be warned. We just need support to let us know that you're enjoying the program. Send us an email. We don't ask for money, but just send us an email. Say we appreciate you and God bless you. We need prayer too. So with that, we're going to close out. Bishop going to close us out, and we will see you next Friday, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that you put out tonight. We thank you for the revelation that you put in our hearts and spirit. And Father God, we ask that you touch those that was listening, Father, and that they would have revelation also, and that they would desire to fight in this warfare that we have, that they would desire to put on the whole armor of God, that they would desire to study your word and to learn of your word and to meditate on your word. So, Father God, we ask that you also bless them, heal them of their physical conditions, touch their minds, give them a righteous mind and a free mind, and bless them, Father God, according to your will, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen.
Amen. Be blessed. See you next week. Bye.